Under the Scope.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Under the Scope. We're here with another movie review. This time joining me, it's Earl. It's been a while. When was the last time you were here for? Was it Mad Max? No.
No, it might have been Mad Max.
Yeah, I think it was Fury Road.
Mad Max Fury. And if you haven't seen it, go watch it now and then come back and watch this.
Yes, pause. Put this on
much
pause.
More important.
So we're here with another summer movie review. We've had a lot of movies in the can this summer, and here's another one for you. We just got out of an advanced screening of the brand new... Who is the director on this?
Chris Columbus.
Yes. Yes, the Vanilla
Man
Skies.
Adventures in Babysitting.
Adventures in Babysitting. A couple of Harry Potter films.
The Home Alone... The good ones. The good Home Alone movies. Only the Lonely Ones.
Of course we're talking about the new action comedy, Pixels.
With Kevin James.
Kevin James, Sandler, Adam Sandler.
And Peter Dinklage.
Peter Dinklage, Josh Gad, Michelle Monaghan. Who else? So there's some cameos from some very famous people.
Martha Stewart.
I'm a little red on the forehead. I was out in the sun all day. Just have to look past that, folks.
I just got a haircut.
He has no hair left. I've got a red forehead. Let's talk about Pixels the movie.
Pixels the movie.
Synchronicity. So what is this movie about?
It's about back in the 82, there was a video game championship.
Mm-hmm.
Dan Aykroyd decided to make a videotape of it all, and NASA sent it into space hoping to communicate with aliens along with other things. And some unknown planet decided to take it as a declaration of war.
Mm.
So they geared all their weapons of classic video games to attack Earth.
How does humanity fare at first?
Well, at first they suck because they don't quite believe that it's Galaga attacking them. Mm. But the boy from the 1982 championship, he still knows how to play video games. His best friend became president of the United States.
Crazy how that works.
I think it was a nice change besides, we're all just losers in the future. No, a dude came president.
There's a lot of little things in this movie you just have to kind of go, all right, they're gonna go do that. I'm just going to roll with it and just... That's how they're going to go with it. All right.
The movie does have a lot of... what's that name of that movie there? The summer camp movie with Gina Garofalo? Red Hot Summer?
Red Hot American Summer?
It takes a lot... You know how that movie made fun of typical film tropes?
Yeah.
There's a lot of those in here.
Mm-hmm.
But they actually, you know, it kind of fits.
The tropes fit. They're not doing the joke. Right. They're not making the joke of it. Right.
But there's a lot of like, well, of course that's going to happen. But it was kind of fresh.
It's kind of fresh. Funky fresh, you
funky
might say.
Funky fresh, no. Because, you know, you're in a different kind of, you know, you're dealing with video games attacking Earth, which is...
Right. So basically, the big set pieces in this film are, is you have giant video game characters coming down to Earth to attack. You've got Pac-Man, you've got Centipede, you've got...
Donkey Kong. Arkanoid.
What's that?
What is that?
Arkanoid, yeah.
Arkanoid, that's what it was.
Attacking the thing. I don't want to give too much away.
And Galaga.
Galaga initiates it.
And a cameo of thousands of video
games. The big battle at the end, of course, has tons of different characters. Right. Good luck spotting them all. But a lot of your favorites are probably there. There's probably just Easter eggs everywhere.
Yes.
So anyway, that's probably what you're there for. You're probably there to see giant video games
attacker.
In real life.
Yeah,
and people,
attacker.
How do they deal with it? So we've pretty much talked about what the film's about.
Right.
If you didn't know already, that's it. What did we think about it?
Well, I got to tell you one thing. Peter Dinklage stole that movie. He, like, put it in his pocket and ran off.
Really?
You think?
I'm conflicted on the Dinklage performance because he's doing some interesting character work. I'm not sure it worked all the time or if I liked it, but he was 100% going for it.
Oh,
and I can appreciate
that. The prison
that.
Scene where you get him back in a prison? It was great as his younger self.
Mm-hmm.
He must have like went to the guy that played the younger self mm-hmm. of him and said, here's how we're going to do it. Because
right.
It was like seamless.
The younger version of Fire Blaster.
A nickname he gave himself.
doesn't matter who made it up. Doesn't matter. That's a reference, by the way. Fire Blaster.
I got a feeling that there'll be a lot of references popping out of this film should the
yeah.
public enjoy it.
Young Fire Blaster was perfectly cast.
Yes.
And I could tell how the younger versions of all of our main characters, you could kind of tell who they were going to grow up to be, but that one was 100% spot on. It was like, did they somehow make a computer-generated young Peter Dinklage?
No, it was a different guy.
I know, but it looked just like him.
I know, it was spot
amazing.
On, and the characters were just seamless. The one thing I'll say is the reason why the film, I know what you're thinking, it feels kind of joke. I feel the film was trimmed down.
I 100% believe that.
And it was just like, because there's a general, in the film, brilliantly played by Brian Cox.
Yes.
Yeah, he had fun with it. I love when he goes, "Did you just hear what Hall and Oates said?"
He's got some great lines.
And but, you know, it looked like he's up to something, and then he just kind of disappears.
Right, and then there's a whole thing with Fire Blaster that goes on, and then suddenly he comes back at the end, and it's like, oh, yeah, I'm here to do whatever.
Well, yeah, I figured
he was. I'm talking around it, but it's sort of like, it felt like there was maybe a couple scenes of consequences or him considering
like
things.
Of extra characters,
and it was just like gone and then back and like, oh, all right, here we go.
Overall,
big finale.
I don't think it overall hit the film, but I mean, if you're a film guy, I guess you catch on to these things. Like, where did that guy go?
Yeah, it was just, it seemed like it was maybe cut down and some things were just lost. And you know what? Maybe it was for the better. It kept it from being too long. It was like an hour, 45 minutes. So pretty decent length.
Adam
there.
Sandler, I got to say, he's back on his game.
Really?
I think he realizes he's older now, so he can't quite do the, Happy Gilmore stuff anymore. But I think he did pretty good. It's kind of the Adam Sandler I've missed for a while.
It's got number one, if you're not an Adam Sandler fan in any way, even his older works where he was truly funny and broke new ground, you're not going to like this film. Period. I don't think this is going to convert you to an Adam Sandler fan.
I don't think it's a good. I think it might be his exception for people because there's really so much more going on. I mean, the video games kind of take their place.
This is the review where you say something and I go, really? A lot. That's what this is.
Oh,
really?
That's why you have me on, because I do the really thing. Anyway,
I really don't think that this is going to convert anyone into an Adam Sandler fan. However, if you've been sort of not liking a lot of his recent work, and you kind of prefer more of the Billy Madison, Happy Gilmore era, this is better.
The older, wiser.
This feels like, I mean, it isn't too, it's not like Little Nicky, it's not, the remote control one?
Click.
It's not anything where he plays twin sister. This is just Sandler, cracking wise. Giving people nicknames, and I think it's a nice return to form.
Yeah, and it's a fun plot, it's a fun movie, everybody does good in it, I think.
Yeah.
I had fun with it, the audience really liked it.
The audience applauded at the end,
and there's one scene where one of the characters has something going on. I don't want to give it away, I'm trying to find a good way to put it. Something happened with one of his favorite video games, and the whole audience went, ooh.
The audience was definitely into it, and to be fair, a lot of these screening audiences, they tend to like these films pretty much wholeheartedly, and there's been a lot of applause breaks in many screenings we've been in. It doesn't mean that we're always along with them. And sometimes when people applaud movies, and I just look around and go, huh? Did we see the same movie?
I applauded.
This one, I was okay with it. I thought it was probably justified. Now, was this the greatest film ever? No. I don't think it was the greatest film.
But I had a hell of a lot of fun.
I had fun. Where I had some problems, I think, is that I think some of the jokes were a little bit, I don't even explain it. Like, maybe they could have done better jokes. Maybe some of these jokes were just a product of improvisation, and it was the best they had to work with. I don't know. I think most people will probably like them, but I guess maybe I'm a comedy snob a little bit. So they didn't all hit with me, or they felt like punchlines that didn't feel organic to the story, maybe, but they were still funny punchlines. Right. So maybe they just stuck out a little bit more. I also thought maybe there was a little too much romantic subplot going on.
I thought it was nice that it took a time, though.
I guess, but I just feel I was there for there to be large-scale video game destroying Earth action.
I gotta say, they got right into it.
They did. They didn't waste too much time.
It
wasn't like a big build-up, like a Godzilla's gonna attack or something like that. It was literally like present day. Here we go.
Like, the people you're gonna be watching and video games.
If anything, I just felt like we talked about tropes earlier. I felt like maybe that whole romantic subplot was like, okay, of course the hero's gonna have a love interest.
Right.
It just felt a little tacked on, a little unnecessary. I think they could have done something fresh with that, but I wasn't offended by it either, so.
Better than a lot of the cliche ones I've seen.
Right.
Slightly better ones, too.
True. I don't know what else we have to say about this. I mean, the effects, I thought the effects work was fantastic.
Oh, the effects were great, and the 3D really made it a lot of fun.
The 3D, I don't really like 3D movies very often, but the way this film is done really does lend itself really well to 3D.
Yes.
Because these are classic 2D arcade games that are sort of extruded out into a three-dimensional world, and for whatever reason, that really works seeing it in 3D. I think that's like seeing Pac-Man going as a sphere down the city, the streets of New York,
and just chomping
is
away.
Really cool. Watching,
I would have loved to have seen the ghost, but I know, you know, they did a clever thing to include the ghost, but you know,
yeah.
They're
if
not
you,
there.
You've seen the trailer, you probably know the ghosts are little Mini Coopers. I thought that was really cool.
And they just catch the license plates?
Yeah, they had little names on it. It was awesome. So,
and apparently, I don't know for any of you Scope listeners, if you do see this film, the end credits says there's a Masters of the Universe item. I'm a big He-Man fan, so if you can tell me where the hell He-Man is in this thing, let me know. Thank you.
Right down below. Right in the comments. Let them know where you saw it. I don't know if we have anything more specific to say about this, so why don't we take a break? We'll give this thing a score, and... yeah.
I'm going to get this pizza then. I'll see you.
Let's give this thing a score.
The Scope score is 2.75 stars.
So 2.75 stars.
2.75 stars.
Honestly, I was surprised by that because I think waiting in line to go into the screening and throughout the day, reviews have been starting to break. People have been posting it to Facebook. And there's been some really, really negative reviews that have landed.
Yeah.
I didn't really read them, but I saw some commentary around it. And so that's sort of maybe that set my bar lower. I don't know.
I just think right now it's in to bash Adam Sandler.
That
Adam
could
Sandler
be it
is
too.
Kind of the bash guy. No matter what he does, everybody. And it's younger people that don't realize, you know, back in the 90s, that guy was. He made a movie, you showed up.
It was awesome. I just feel like this film was. Did it hit every mark? No, but I think it was fun. I really enjoyed the video game fight scenes, battle scenes, whatever. Yeah. I thought those were really well done and really interesting to watch, and I really enjoyed them. Maybe that's why I didn't like the romantic subplot, because I wanted to get back to that more.
I think maybe that's because that kind of drags the film into reality, and it's just a fun movie.
It is fun. There's a lot of nostalgia. It's not just video game nostalgia, too. There's a bunch of... If you're into 80s nostalgia at all, they do some fun stuff with how the aliens communicate.
Oh, God, yeah.
And
we won't. You got to see that.
80s
Hall &
nostalgia.
Oates, man. Watch for Hall & Oates.
Watch out. You heard what Hall & Oates said. So I just think that, I don't know. I don't really know what people have to complain about other than, you know, maybe
it's... Jared, I've, in my travels on this planet and this time and this age, there are just some people that hate fun.
Well, there you go. Some people hate fun.
Some people just hate fun, and they just... hate fun.
Well, if you're the kind of person who doesn't hate fun, make sure you like, comment, and subscribe.
Right.
All that is right down below. We've got more summer movies coming at you. We've got Mission Impossible Rogue Nation. I want to say Rogue Squadrons. Rogue Nation. That's coming out next week. We may have already released our vacation review. That may come out after this. I'm not really sure. It's in the can, but I don't really know when these are getting released. This one's going to get out as soon as possible because the movie's in Friday in theaters Friday the 24th.
We're not going to tell you what day this is, so you have no idea when we did this.
Exactly. We're locked in a bunker.
Man from U.N.C.L.E.'s coming.
Man from U.N.C.L.E.'s coming in. We've got Fantastic Four coming down the road. Bunch more movies coming out. So anyway, thanks for tuning in. This has been Under the Scope. That's Earl. I'm Jared. In the words of Shane, bye for now.
Ladies and gentlemen, we find ourselves once again at the end. I hope you've enjoyed our time together. I know I have. Fear not, Scope faithful. Days shall pass as if they were but a moment. And Jared, Adam, and Shane will return with another thrilling episode. Until then, send your comments to comments@thescopeshow.com or leave a voicemail message by dialing
612-21-SCOPE. That's 612-217-2673.
Thanks for listening, faithful fans. This is Tony Partington saying arrivederci. Tune in next time to another terrific edition of The Scope.